winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
What a first Saturday back in the Scottish Premiership and beyond. It was Flag Day at Celtic Park, 4-2 victory for Brendan Rodgers' side. What did you make of it, Celtic fans? Let us know right now, please. The open line is here, 01419511025. We then got to the 3 o'clock games. Not hugely exciting. Goalless draw between Livy, Aberdeen. A 1-1 draw between Dundee and Motherwell. And then St Johnstone nil, Hearts 2 up there in the rain at McDermott Park. We're not done yet though, so let's go back to Rugby Park and build up to kick off. Where else you get your calls in with Gabriel?
Thanks Gordon, and yes, it all starts here. The task for Rangers is clear, but far from simple. Michael Beale's men must hunt down this all-conquering Celtic team, and he knows they need a fast start. The bar has already been set by the champions with their 4-2 win over Ross County earlier today. 3 points are required here. I spoke to Beale yesterday. He said his side have everything to prove this campaign, but they are ready to go. He says he's extremely satisfied with the squad he's been managed to build. He thanked the board for the backing and the freedom that he's been given in the transfer market. He's brought 9 new players in, and 4 of them start today, whilst latest addition Jose Cifuentes is amongst the substitutes. Ben Davies, Ridvan Yilmaz and Tom Lawrence are all out injured. Fashion Sakala is on his way to Saudi Arabia, but Connor Goldson comes straight back into the team. A huge boost for the Jerds. So let's have a run through of Michael Beale's first 11 of the season then. It's Jack Butland in goal, a back four of captain James Tavernier, Connor Goldson, John Suter and Borna Barisic. The midfield three will be Kieran Dowell, John Lundstrom and Nicholas Raskin. Abdullah Simmer and Sam Lammers will support Cyril Dessers up top. The substitutes: McCrory, Hadji, Jack, Cantwell, Cifuentes, Matondo, Roof, Balogun and Danilo. What about the host then, Kilmarnock? Well, I spoke to Derek McInnes on Tuesday that he was re-emphasising his desire to take points off the Old Firm this season after failing to do so last campaign. And he's building a nice squad quietly down here in Ayrshire. He will have his eyes on the top six if they can start the season strongly. He's also brought in plenty of new players. 6 men make their league debut for Killy this evening. And it looks like it's going to be a 4-3-3 formation. William Dennis is in goal, a back four of Lewis Mayo, Stuart Finlay, Robbie Dees and Corian Bada. Brad Lyons, Kyle McGuinness and David Watson are in midfield, with Matty Kennedy and Dan Armstrong out wide. Marley Watkins is through the middle. The substitutes for the hosts: O'Hara, Sanders, Davies, Donnelly, Polworth, McKenzie, Murray, Cameron and Vassell. Referee here will be Willie Collum. Andrew Dallas is the VAR. Now you can hear the noise behind me, Gordon. Rangers fans packing out the stand to the left of me behind the goal. There's over 10,000 inside Rugby Park. That's what we're expecting. And possibly more Kilmarnock fans than Rangers supporters. Now Rangers have won all of the last 6 meetings between these two sides. But as we know, it's a new season. It is a new slate, a clean slate. Rangers have had a mixed pre-season, but the Ibrox side will not worry about that anymore. The real stuff starts here. Can Rangers wrestle the title back from Celtic? That is the question. We'll find out over the next 10 months. There'll be twists and turns, but it all starts here as captain James Tavernier leads his side out onto the pitch. Kickoff is just moments away.
Go on then, you duds. Give us your prediction for this one. How's it going to pan out? What are you thinking?
Kilmarnock 0, Rangers 4.
Wow, it's a huge prediction from Hugh Keevans.
Kilmarnock 1, Rangers 3.
Gordon DL.
I think that Rangers will keep a clean sheet, 2-0 Rangers.
There we are. Well, the teams are coming out. We will, of course, keep you up to speed on anything that happens during this first half. Whilst they do the usual pre-match ceremony, let's take a call because the open line is here. But thanks to late kickoffs and VAR, it's all a bit disrupted. So let's bring in Alec, who's a Celtic fan. What did you make of the game today, Alec?
Absolutely shocking.
Shocking? Not bad. 4-2 win. Comfortable.
To lose 2 goals against Ross County at Celtic Park is absolutely shocking. And the 2 goals Celtic tumble got should never, well, the penalty was never a penalty in my opinion. Ross County should have got a penalty. And Joe Hart, what he done, he shouldn't have wear a Celtic jersey again. And the one way Tumble's second goal, that ball was out a mile.
Are you sure you're a Celtic fan, Alec?
Yeah. I'm telling the truth. I'm the one there. I'm over close catching Carisco. I'm telling the truth. But what is
Alex wrong at every turn, because Hart is certainly a danger to his own team at the back, but there wasn't enough in it for a penalty to be awarded when he tried to chest the ball down.
I mean, look, it was a heart, sorry, pardon the pun, and mouth moment, but did he actually didn't touch Simon Murray, did he?
Simon Murray immediately claimed for the penalty, but he seemed to go forward and then stumble. We have VAR, it would have been checked, and it was not a penalty, although Joe Hart remains, for me, a liability. And to contemplate Champions League football with Joe Hart in goal, I don't think is good enough for Celtic. The ball that Alex referring to from Matt O'Reilly over to Turnbull clearly was not over the line. The whole ball has to be over the line. Nothing of the kind. So Alex wrong in that instance as well. It wasn't vintage Celtic. I said that at the time. And for Ross County to score two goals, I think should be of concern to Brendan Rodgers. Mm. But to describe it as shocking, I think, is over the top.
Who am I to question you, Alec? If Celtic are your team, as indeed you say they are, do they bring you any joy today? It doesn't sound like it.
Obviously, a win's a win. As Jock Steen said, they score four, as long as we score five.
Indeed, I mean, today it was 4-2, Gordon. And I guess, look, language matters. No one's going to... You can say that, you know, Celtic could have maybe done better and you'd expect it to be more comfortable or whatever, but is it verging on disrespectful to say that a 4-2 win's absolutely shocking? Because, you know, you've got to give a bit of credit to Ross County. They came and made life difficult. Let's be honest, even the second goal, which does change the complexion of things, it was a bit fortuitous.
Yeah, I think that listening to Brendan Rodgers' interview as a Celtic manager, I thought he was content with his day's work. I thought he was happy with what he's seen. They scored four goals at home. Yes, of course, fans don't like that a team like Ross County coming and scoring two at Celtic Park, but I think Ross County on the day deserved it. I thought they played very well. At times, they caused Celtic problems. Remember, that's never got to be the back four of Brendan Rodgers' strongest back four, but that's not making excuses. Mm. I thought positive. Kyogo, I thought, was excellent. I thought Taylor was brilliant first half. Turnbull takes his chance for me, especially with the competition of a player of the quality of Hatate. So there's a lot of positives. Of course, there's negatives thrown in there. It's opening day of the season, so... still a bit of work today. That's what I said after the game.
Connor Kilmarnock doesn't come to anything. Mark, the most Alec can muster is to say a win's a win. I suspect you were at least a bit more positive than that.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of Celtic fans would be. I think, you know, the Celtic manager positive. I think the players would have went off the pitch positive. Alec's seen a whole different side of, what actually happened when he's seen ball was out of play with O'Reilly and it wasn't a penalty. I think everybody in here agreed. So not sure what Alex's bottom line is, but there is still work to be done, no doubt about it. But I thought there was a lot of good stuff. You know, a mixture of Postecoglou's style and pace, and some ideas from Brendan Rodgers in there that will get better. So I think the signs are positive.
Alec contradicts himself when he mentions Jock Steen. Jock Steen did say, if they score three, we score four, etc., etc. But Alec, first of all, said it was shocking that Ross County get two, but Celtic get four.
And somewhere in the middle, as a lot of these things are, Hugh, it was more comfortable than that, wasn't it? It wasn't like, oh, Celtic just had to just about outscore the opposition. It was more comfortable than
that. As soon as Ross County scored the second goal, I said to you, Gordon, optics. It all of a sudden looks more dramatic than it really was. 4-1 looks comfortable. 4-2, you're asking questions. But there are questions to be asked. I mean, Celtic at times were thrilling today. James Forrest had the chance to put the finishing touch to what would have been the goal of the season on the first day of the season. So there were times when Celtic were thrilling, but there was enough sloppiness to be concerned that, you know, there are far, far bigger matches to come for Celtic, and that they're a bit sloppy at the back just now. Well, starting with the goalkeeper.
Quite the start to the open line. Thank you to Alec. You can join in on 01419511025. Celtic winning earlier. Rangers threw on goal and the flag went up. It was one of those late flags that you get now, such as the rules are these days. I think Seema was, and I'll tell you what actually, because it's the other run. I'm not sure if that was
offside.
Offside. It didn't matter. It was an easy save in the end for Kilmarnock. Briefly, Gordon, what have you made of the start to this game?
Yeah, I think Rangers are trying to settle into the game. Obviously, the pitch is obviously well documented. It's hard to play on. But Kilmarnock will be up for a game. But Rangers, with the new players in there, new to them, playing the ball.
Going direct, Rangers, aren't they?
Yeah,
Very direct.
Looking for runners. And they're trying to cause problems with Kilmarnock's back line. And they've certainly succeeded in that so far. But the notice right away, very direct.
More to come from Rugby Park and more of your calls as well. So get in touch, please.
Action as it happens. And your reaction from five on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
The open line is here, but we're also 7.5 minutes in to Killy nil, Rangers nil. An inventive back heel from Seema, almost catching out the Kilmarnock goalkeeper, but a fairly routine stop in the end. And what have you noticed in the last few minutes, Gordon? How's this one panning out?
Yeah, I think it's a good start for Rangers. They look sharp, they're knocking the ball about, good movement. Seema playing through the middle, making good runs. A little bit unlucky there, I liked that. It was cheeky.
Great
back
imagination.
Heeler. Yeah, but it was cheeky back heel. Shows he's playing a bit of confidence. So I think that Michael Beale, I know it's only 8 minutes in the clock, I think he'll be quite happy.
The Rangers attack in particular, Mark, what have you noticed about the way they're setting up and going about things?
Looks like Seema playing a lot closer to Dessers than I would have thought. You know, much more of a two, going direct, trying to get Dessers involved and Seema off the back of him. So a departure from what Rangers fans have been used to. I think we touched on that on Tuesday and Thursday night, that there was going to be a change of shape. The personnel brought in would suit that change, and it's certainly visible here.
Nice
in this opening
sort of training ground set piece from Killy. They've clearly worked on that and wanted to get Lewis Mayo round to the back post, and it worked up to a point. No one really seemed to see him coming, but the shot on goal, it was a difficult one, and it ends up over the bar. Free kick to Rangers as Sam Lammers goes down. Let's bring in Jim, who's a Celtic fan in Tenerife of all places. How's it going, Jim?
I'm brand new, bud.
Yeah, I bet you're better than us, I must admit. We've had rain delays and all sorts today, and you're sunning yourself. What did you make of Celtic's opening to the new season?
I thought they were absolutely... Okay, we had a slow start, but that's just to be expected. So, we'll take it from there. It'll be a slow start, but I still think we'll get stronger and stronger as the season goes on. And I think there'll be another couple of new faces to come in.
Who caught your eye, Jim?
Oh, Turnbull was absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. But I quite like the look of the big Polish guy at the back, the big centre-half. I think he'll be a really, really good addition to the squad. He looks dead cool and he's good in possession. I think he's only going to get stronger.
Jim knows his stuff, because if you were to pick two players from Celtic starting 11 that probably deserve a bit of attention or analysis after the game, it would be David Turnbull and Mike Navrovsky.
Was there any explanation for Navrovsky being taken off?
I'm not sure. No, not that I've seen so far.
I mean, it's abundantly clear now that Carl Starfelt is on his way to another club.
I'm actually going to play you some Brendan Rodgers on that.
And Navrovsky will immediately need to form a solid partnership with Cameron Carter-Vickers. Carter-Vickers at times looked less than steady, but
not yet fully fit was the Navrovsky answer.
But that's only to be expected in the case of Carter-Vickers, who's undergone surgery and this was his first competitive game. So as I say, in part it was thrilling and in part it was troubling with regard to what was going on at the back.
Starting with the positives, Jim wanted to mention David Turnbull. Mark?
Brilliant. I mean, we've spoke about him all afternoon. That's because it was such an outstanding hour he put in. And difficult, again, the pressure on his shoulders, how he was feeling about himself last season. I'm pretty sure he had a big decision to make. Does he go and pursue a move elsewhere, or does he bide his time, get his head down and work in pre-season under a new manager? Well, he chose the latter. And it helps when you've got Brendan Rodgers, you know, giving him the advice of what he needs to do. But it's then ultimately up to the player when he crosses the white line to carry out what the manager says. And he did today. And of course, if you're a midfielder like him and you're you're in the goals each season, you're getting a couple today, then you're going to stay in the team. And, you know, Hatate's a big one to keep at the team, but it's a big decision for Brendan Rodgers next week.
The thought of it, Gordon DL, went on, I don't know, the 1st of June, let's say, 2 months ago, if we had said on here, by the way, Celtic will kick off next season, Rio Hatate will be left out and David Turnbull will play and he'll score twice and he'll get the man of the match, you might have not believed it.
No, did I believed it, but I said on Thursday night that I was being a very, what I've seen, Turnbull has got a new lease of life. I just think that Brendan Rodgers has went in there, given the boy all the confidence in the world. You heard his interviews saying, look, I had a chat with him, I told him what was required, then it's up to the player to go and deliver. And you've got to say, he's in merit, he's proven that he is a top quality footballer, he's adding goals to his game, he's being aggressive, he's getting in the box. He should have probably had a hat-trick today, if we're honest. And he'll only get better as the season goes
on. Celtic scored 4. Turnbull should have made it 5, and Kyogo could have made it 6. But the question marks for me are at the back. The goalkeeper, Alistair Johnson, will be welcomed back with open arms. Taylor played very well. Navrovsky will have to settle into the side, and Carter Vickers will need time to come fully up to speed. But middle to front, they can be thrilling. The carelessness was at the back.
Yeah, what about that, Jim? You've mentioned, you know, it was just a, things will get better, but it was a good start. Was there anything that did worry you at all?
No, not really. I'd love to see Alistair Johnson back as quickly as possible, because I think the right-hand side, I think we've got a wee bit of a problem there. I know Ralston is good cover, but I don't think he's the option. I don't think he's really that great. He's okay for cover, but in my eyes, he's not a right-back.
Yeah, I think that will be a popular return, no doubt about that. Not too sure when it is. Exactly, 14 almost gone, Killy nil, Rangers nil. Bring us up to speed, Gordon.
Yeah, it's been a good opening from both sides. Rangers really, you know, looking to hit that forward ball quickly, looking for the runners. Kamarnock, good opportunity with the free kick, put a bit of pressure on the Rangers defence. So both sides settling well into the game. But you know, I think Michael Beale's decided, I'm going direct, make sure that you're on the front foot, look for the diagonal balls quickly, and then try and turn Kilmarnock. And so far it's a good pace to the game, and I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, because I know a lot's been said, Mark, about the physical profile of some of Rangers' signings during the summer as well. They seem to have added a bit of physicality.
They certainly have. I mean, Dessers looks a big lad himself, and you know, Lammer's quite big in there. There is a physicality about him, Cifuentes, who we've yet to see, but he comes with a reputation that way. But it's noticeable, the change in style, the change in play. It is more direct. Now, I don't know if that's just because of the surface at Rugby Park, it's no chances, and maybe you'll see a different Rangers at Ibrox. But you see Conor Goldson there with plenty of time, chooses to go long diagonal to Tavernier a few times in the past, right up to Dessers. So it's a certain change. Whether they keep that up for the full game or it's just the opening 15 minutes until it settles, we'll see.
Kilmarnock could be undone by their own pitch. It's desperate. It's time that we outlawed synthetic surfaces. If we, you know, VAR and all that goes on around it is supposed to be about us making our game more sophisticated, more in line with the global game, and we still allow plastic pitches.
It might not be Kilmarnock's undoing, because they've got a very good home record, Gordon. Derek McInnes's task for this season, he said, is to keep that and then build on the away form.
Yeah, because it was well documented, our away form last year was absolutely shocking. There's no doubt about that. Yes, they've got to win their home games, but once again, Rangers get the ball there at the back. There's no thoughts of knocking it in midfield, playing through the lines as we see in the modern day game. It's direct, looking for runners, getting behind Kilmarnock. I agree with Mark. I don't know if it's a tactic that he's only using today because of the pitch.
I think Derek McInnes will even be surprised at this, because I'm sure he would have prepped his team for a certain style. Maybe. And be patient. But I think you can even see from Kelly's backline, they're almost not expecting to be turning back towards their own goal.
I don't know about the approach, but Derek McInnes did make a point of mentioning the physicality that Rangers had added during the summer. So if it was something he was very aware of. So I don't know if that
You know, by the way, seeing Kilmarnock team come out the tunnel, the additions they've made, they're no small team themselves. You know, a lot of big boys been added. Marley Watkins there, seen his power a minute ago. So it is going to be a physical game, and you know, this pitch lends itself to that sometimes, because it's not going to be a free flowing passing beautiful football game this evening. Yeah, unfortunately,
this surely, Gordon, falls into the category for Rangers of get 3 points. The performance isn't going to matter quite as much, is it?
Not at all. Not at all. Yeah, listen, icing on the cake if you get down, and I think you predicted 4-0. If you get 4-0, it'd be absolutely brilliant for them. As long as they come away from Murby Park tonight with 3 points, Michael Beale will be happy getting into Wednesday night's game.
John Souter's use of the ball been a positive at the start of this game?
Well, he's certainly
so
composed.
I've
said before, I played beside him. He was right centre half when I was right back, and sometimes even I thought when I was 10 yards away, you know, pass it, go long, he'll take that extra touch, that extra yard. He's so composed, and he's got the strength and pace to get away from a striker. So exactly what you want if you want to play that brand of football. And he can pick a pass longer. So the key thing for John Souter this season, of course, is to keep fit. And I really hope he does. He's a good lad with a big career internationally as well. So if he keeps fit, he'll be right in Steve Clark's mind going forward.
Yeah, throw in for Kilmarnock down by the corner flag. Let's bring in Douglas, who's in Denniston. Douglas, what did you take away from Celtic's win earlier?
Evening panel, how are we doing?
Good, thank you. Good, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. Good. I was at the game today. Me and my pals just came away with a few opinions. Be interested to hear your thoughts. First, I thought it was interesting that the Brodge has stuck with inverted fullbacks, as we saw under Ange. I think James Forrest's time is up. I think all he's good for is playing against these Diddy teams. Tony Rowson's never a footballer. He's never a backup right-back, let alone first-choice right-back at a club like Celtic. David Turnbull, fair play to him, he took his chance today. I think when Hatate's fit, he has to come back in. I don't think Turnbull gets in our best 11 still.
Is Hatate not fit?
Well, if he's fully fit, why is he on the bench?
Because the manager felt that Turnbull had had a better pre-season and would have been more effective when he scored two goals. I think that there's a way to make your point, and there's a way to be disrespectful, and you're going down the disrespectful road. To say that Tony Ralston's never a footballer, well, does that mean that Brendan Rodgers isn't a manager because he picked him?
Talking about Joe Hart as well, I think he plays the bricks in his boots too, to be honest with you.
Well, I am not a fan of Joe Hart. Without being disrespectful to Joe Hart, he's had an illustrious career, but his best days are well and truly behind him. And the modern day goalkeeper would be more comfortable with the ball at his feet. And Joe almost got Celtic into trouble today. And I repeat, Joe Hart in the Champions League will be seriously found out.
This came about last season, and again in the summer, and again this week, and you two weren't convinced. I think on Thursday, Wilson and DL, you didn't think goalkeeping was a position that Celtic could look at, but there's a growing number of Celtic fans who disagree.
Yeah, look, he's got three goalkeepers in there. If he decided to think Joe Hart wasn't going to be his number one, then obviously one would need to depart the building. He can't go to the board and say, look, I need money for another goalkeeper. Ain't going to happen unless you get rid of one. I think we're being... it's very hard to argue against you, but I think we're being a bit hard early on, Hart, right? He played last season in the modern day game and picked up three medals, won the trophy. Now, I know that Brendan Rodgers and Celtic are looking for better things in the European campaign. That'll be interesting to see. He made a couple of mistakes today at times. He didn't look comfortable, but I'm going to give him an excuse. There's a couple of times the back passes weren't that great to him. You know, put him under a little bit of pressure. I think we're a bit early on it. I really do.
That's what I'm saying. People have been doing this last season, not just decided today.
Well, he was in a team that won the treble last season, Gordon, with a terrific defensive record.
I get that. And the problem is, I'm just going to argue against you because that's obviously what I'm here for. I've got very little against Joe Hart. I don't mind. But if he won the treble last season. If that's the reply, then you don't ever upgrade anyone because they all won the treble last year. So just close the checkbook. Don't upgrade anyone because they all won the treble.
Right.
You might be right about Joe Hart, but that's not the argument. Like I say, just don't sign anyone then. Well, don't improve anybody.
My opinion is quite simple. I don't think that Celtic will gun for another goalkeeper unless one departs the club.
Secondly,
I don't think, for me personally, I don't think Joe Hart is a bigger worry as some people are making out. I still think there's a bit of mileage in Joe Hart. That's only my opinion.
I have to disagree, and I think even with regard to Ross County's first goal, he looks unconvincing at that goal as well. I just think that, you know, how can I say anything other than he's had a wonderful career. International football, European football, trophies galore, but the show's over.
Well, you've just had a go at the caller there then saying, well, is Brendan Rodgers a bad manager? Because you've got two other goalkeepers, right? So is Brendan Rodgers not going, well, I tell you what, you're not the number one goalkeeper. Seagrass is in there, Arbane's in there. So what does that tell you?
Just for the avoidance of doubt, everyone who raises the point, no one wants Seagrass or Bain in. They want a new goalkeeper. Yeah. Nobody's saying Scott Bain should be Celtic's number one.
So Celtic have got three goalkeepers. None of them can be the number one, really, for the Celtic
fan. At the moment, that is looking to be the situation, because you're not going to have Scott Bain. We were all told that Brendan Rodgers was back because not only were Celtic going to retain the title, but they were going to make an impression in Europe. None of the goalkeepers at Celtic Park will help you in that regard.
So why is Brendan Rodgers not trying to move one or two of them on if he's got three goalkeepers that nobody rates?
Well, we are the
Celtic Football Club.
Well, you are a former manager. You are not going to tell me that Scott Bain or Benji Seagrist would be Champions League contenders.
I would certainly not make Scott Bain my number one. That's my opinion. I still believe, right, and I know that he's not having the greatest time, I still believe there's still some mileage in Joe Hart. If it wasn't, surely Brendan Rodgers coming in to the building would address that situation right away. Because we talk about how good a manager, how good a coach he is, he brought in players. Surely if he looks at three goalkeepers and thinks none of them are good enough, he would address that situation.
There's plenty of time to address that situation because this is
the 5th of August, but the window doesn't close until
the first week in September.
We're coming at this argument from a weird place. Even if Brendan Rodgers doesn't, that doesn't invalidate any fans who are phoning up to say that's what they want to happen.
That's their opinion, but my opinion is Joe Hart still gets some life in his career.
Mark?
No, I'm with Daz in this one. I don't think it's as pressing an issue as some are making out. Yes, Joe Hart, ball at his feet, could do much better. Think he's still a good shot stopper. Can Celtic upgrade him? Of course he can. Recruitment is key though. I'll keep going back to Barkas and how disastrous that was for the club, putting £5 million on the line and bringing someone in who was a disaster, and how that played a big part in a nightmare season. So be careful what you wish for. I think Joe Hart is culpable sometimes, and his best years are behind him, but I still think he's good enough to be number one.
By the same token, can you understand why Celtic fans listening might think that because Celtic have signed a bad goalkeeper before, it's not a huge reason to not try it again?
Of course, and of course it's a different manager in place now who has to okay it, with different attributes he requires from his goalkeeper, so you may get a different outcome, and every chance you will get a different outcome. But I'm just highlighting what could be. It's such a specialised position, and when Joe Hart came in, such wealth of experience, there's some question marks about him then.
Oh, there's no doubt that he made some impact when he came in.
And he did make a very valuable, strong impact, and I think he's got a good relationship with the back line, which is always important. But is there an upgrade out there, Gordon? Of course there will be. It's whether Brendan Rodgers wants to go and do it or not.
Let's check in at Rugby Park and take more of your calls after these. After the action, it's your reaction. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line. Free kick, Kilmarnock on the edge of the box. No, it's not. Play rages on, and I think it's just going to peter out. I don't think the Kilmarnock players will be
You'd take the free kick there all day long
by that. But was it even an advantage, or did the referee just not think it was a foul?
I think going with that, I think Wally Collin must have thought that's not a foul, because Mark's right, every player would have wanted that free kick in the edge of the box, because it was a good position, a good angle to put Rangers under pressure.
Anyway, half an hour gone, Killy nil, Rangers nil. It's not a game littered with quality, but then sometimes on the pitch, that's not surprising. Hugh?
Underwhelming. The game in general is underwhelming. The Rangers' revolution at the moment is underwhelming. It may be that they're lumping the ball forward because of the dreadful state of the pitch, but with half an hour gone, I'm unimpressed, frankly.
Got to agree. Maybe a tactic, like you says, just for the opening stages of this game, because of the personnel they're up against or the pitch. But yeah, not what I thought it was going to look like from Rangers. But that's how it's so difficult to tell. You know, you hear a signing's coming in and everyone thinks it'll be an automatic improvement. Sometimes it can take a bit of time, but yeah, pretty slow from Rangers.
It has almost worked a couple of times, Gordon, getting in behind, but not the real threat on the Kilmarnock goal that Michael Beale would have wanted.
Yeah, I think that when I watched Rangers in pre-season at Ibrox, Seema played wide left, and you really played out on the left-hand side and come in and cause problems. But because of the tactics, he's actually playing as a centre-forward. He's right up there with Dessers, and the two of them are just looking for balls over the top. Rangers going very direct. I think it's a pitch, I really do. I agree with what Hugh says. I think the days of these pitches should be gone.
Yeah, you even just saw Tavernier there. Ball rolled to him. He tried to get the ball at the feet, and he's nearly tripped over it because it's stuck under. So it makes for a poorer spectacle, no doubt about it. Talking about balls over the top, it was Kilmarnock that almost got in there, and it was Butland off his line and just making the last-ditch tackle.
On one hand, I accept that not everything has to come down to the Glasgow comparison, but we did see Ange Postecoglou's Celtic absolutely blitz Kilmarnock away at Rugby Park last season. So the pitch might not be perfect, and it might, you might think they're isolated examples, but it can be done.
I just object to them on a matter of principle. If you are trying to be part of the global game, pitches like that have no place in what you describe as the Premiership. Premiership denotes the top thing, and they're not. I watched the Clyde Bank game last weekend. Clyde Bank have got a better pitch than Kilmarnock.
Yeah, I don't disagree. My point was more,
it can be
that
yeah,
it's impossible to play anything on it, was sort of the point.
No, listen, you can. Rangers could end up winning this game 3-0, 4-0 as you predicted. It's the style of football that Rangers have developed. I think it's the style of football that the home team's developed. It's very... I think if Rangers played at Ibrox next week against Kilmarnock, they certainly wouldn't play as many long balls as they're doing. And I'm sure when Kilmarnock go away from home, they'll probably adapt to a different style, because I think Kilmarnock are decent players.
OK, let's bring in Richard and Livingston, who's a Celtic fan. How would you sum up today, Richard?
I thought it was good. Looked a little bit rusty in places, but yeah, I'm just quite pleased with it.
What in particular pleased you?
I really liked the way that it worked with Kyogo dropping a little bit deeper. It's like it's kind of like making more of his talent than, instead of him just staying up the top, he's coming a little bit deeper. Obviously, the reverse ball's going through. The same thing happened with O during pre-season, so it's obviously something they've really worked on. So I really enjoyed that. I like the look of Naroski. As far as the Joe Hart thing goes, I think...
Let's get back to Joe Hart, Richard, because you've made a lot of good points. I don't want them to get lost. Mark, all summer long, we've been thinking, what's Brendan Rodgers going to do here? Because he's come into an extremely successful Celtic team. Is he going to change much? Is he going to put his own stamp on things? Was the Kyogo dropping deep and David Turnbull at times going up next to him, was that the sort of main difference you noticed? Richard liked it.
Yeah, I think it was the most significant one that you saw. We're used to seeing Kyogo play on the shoulder, and you know, you don't see him very much until he's tapping the ball in the net from a cutback. But today it was a different role. Turnbull played a lot closer to him, and you remember in the second half was that Matt O'Reilly running off the back of him. So it's definitely something Celtic's worked on. you know, the striker playing up against the centre half, but the midfielding clearing out for him to come in, it's hard for a centre half to follow that, and the midfielder to go beyond. That works. You know, it's very difficult for an opposition defence to pick that up, but you need the right striker to be able to play the pass, and Kyogo certainly got it all. He can play that round the corner, can take a touch and turn. So I think that will develop even further as the season goes on. We're only in week one. We saw glimpses today. I think we'll see much more of that.
I like it. I really do. I highlighted it when we were watching the game. It's not a case of Kyogo coming in back to goal. It's the way he angles his body, and Mark used the phrase there, he plays it round the corner. They've worked on it in training, because the minute that happens, you see runners coming. They know that Kyogo's got to play that first time early ball. I think he looks comfortable. I think that's where Brendan Rodgers has now changed a little bit of his play. And I've got to say, I think it'll be very positive for him.
Richard, what was your point about Joe Hart?
Firstly, I do think he's a new goalkeeper, but I think he's been a little bit hard done by, from what I've heard from the show today about today's performance. I'm not really sure what he could have done other than chest it. He could have punched it, but then you don't know where the ball's going to go pretty much when you do that.
Well, no, it was passed back from Anthony Ralston, remember, so he couldn't touch it with his hands. That was part of the difficulty.
Exactly, yeah. So what I was going to say was, I think Ralston was a little bit rusty, and I don't blame Ralston. He's not played a lot of football, and another caller said that he's not a footballer. Well, he is, and he's a decent backup, very decent backup. But I just think today that Joe Hart was, Cal McGregor done it as well actually, put a pass back to him. It just made him look uncomfortable. But in saying that, I still think you do need another keeper, but not based on today. It was actually, my opinion was made.
Yeah, before.
Cemented before. It was an Old Firm game when he made a mess of a pass back and the whole game turned.
I did say that before, Hugh, and we have to be fair, because Anthony Ralston played his part in that moment that everyone's talking about, and Callum McGregor did do it as well. We said that during the commentary of the game, so it is worth repeating. It's easy to get fixated on one issue. We do that a lot.
He was put in bother by his fellow teammates at times, but, and Richard has made the point, his mind was made up like mine last season, not today, not the new season, last season. And I just think that unless Celtic address the situation, they will, sooner rather than later, pay for their indecision or their refusal to acknowledge that Joe Hart, fine player, illustrious career, has his best days behind him.
Thank you, Richard. Some interesting points, and good to get a bit of a balance in there as well. With 38 gone, well, 37 and a half to be precise, it's Killie nil, Rangers nil. And given the food chain of Scottish football, Killie will be the happier, I'm assuming, Gordon.
Yeah, it's a game that I think's crying out for a goal. The quality's not the best. There's a lot of forward balls, a lot of direct football from both sides. Not a lot of goal mouth action, I've got to say. But yeah, Killie so far, 38 on the clock, 0-0 against a Rangers team that have brought in a lot of good players, spent a lot of money. I think Derek McInnes will be the happier.
Best opportunity there, just coming through that James Tavernier corner, swung into 6 yard box. Killie had just enough bodies in there to divert it back to the goalkeeper. But I think if you're a Rangers fan going along there or watching on TV, maybe you just want a wee bit more creativity when you get maybe 40, 45 yards out. You want the ball moved a bit quicker forward. It's going side to side and nothing really coming out. A lot of long ball, diagonal balls just like that. So yeah, room for improvement from both sides. But if you're Derek McInnes, of course, I think you're happy.
Well, Celtic scored 4 goals, and a Celtic supporter tonight said that it was shocking.
We're back, Hugh.
Yeah. It's a tough school.
If you're a Rangers fan, which one word would you care to use about the first 40 minutes at Rugby Park?
They are pressing forward a bit more, Gordon, in a more sustained way, I should say, rather than looking for that ball over the top.
Yeah, they're trying to get down the outside, Gordon, especially the right-hand side. Tavernier trying to influence the game. just the final ball seems to be the one that's letting them down. They need a little bit more quality in the final third. As I said, if Michael Beale gets up the road tonight with 3 points, he'll be over him.
I was going to say, that's the dream for Kilmarnock. They've got pressure, the kick gets 70 yards up the pitch, it's plucked out the air brilliantly. Who was it?
Armstrong,
was
it, I think.
Or Matty Kennedy.
Oh, was it
one
Kennedy?
Of, I don't know, one of them. And then he almost turned back into trouble. And
he ran 15 yards the other way after he had a sensational touch. But then again, Rangers get it back. They go direct into Seema, who, a good touch, but just allowed Kelly players to get back.
Oh, it's not cleared by Kilmarnock, and it's saved in the end by Will Dennis Dessers with the shot after Kelly made life difficult for themselves. I'm afraid we will have to love you and leave you. You can blame these wacky kickoff times. It's almost like they were designed without Clyde One Super Scoreboard in mind. But we won't complain too much. It was good to be back on a Saturday afternoon as a new league season started in Scotland. Celtic raised the flag, then beat Ross County 4-2. There wasn't a whole load of goalmouth action. Hearts beat St Johnstone 2-0, Dundee 1, Motherwell 1, and Livy and Aberdeen was goalless. And as it stands, the same scenario at Rugby Park. Sum it all up, Hugh.
Celtic are off to a winning start, and parts of their game were thrilling, some were troubling. They will now take the show on to Pittodrie next Saturday. For me, everyone's looking at the Rangers revolution. It hasn't taken off yet, but can we blame that awful pitch at Kilmarnock?
Whatever happens this weekend, we look back on it all from 6 o'clock on Monday. Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are here in our shiny new studio as we live stream the show, so make sure you join us. And I was just waiting for this Rangers goal as they try and get a shot away, but it has not come, and GBX is up next.